Good morning, Hope Church. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Good to see you today. Are you glad to be in the house of God?
Yes.
Amen. And happy new year. Amen. Are you having a good new year? Yes. You adjusting to being cold for Sunday? Come on, somebody. You're starting it out right. I commend you on that. In the first service earlier, we were praying just for you. And I just want to take a moment and pray for you also, because it's important for us, I think, in the rhythm of any journey to have these points of, you know, closing one chapter, starting a new chapter. And what a great way to start a new season of your life, but with the opportunity to say, Lord, we're doing this for you, by you, with you. We need you to direct us and empower us. Amen? Because I don't know all the details of all of your lives, but I can tell you that God does. And he has a destination, and a plan, an idea, an opportunity, a potential for each and every one of us to fulfill. And God will bring us through the journey so that you can not only be in the race, but finish the race. Amen? Amen? Amen. So let's take a moment and pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I hold up everyone under the sound of my voice. And Lord, I just thank you for an opportunity, Father God, to come together to worship you. But also, we start this day, this first Sunday of 2015, honoring and recognizing you. And we look to do your will. We need your ability, your grace, your power. And Father, I pray for every person under the sound of my voice that from this moment forward, they will begin to step into their new season, new chapter, new level, whatever it might be in their life that you've called them to be in by your power and by your grace. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everybody said, amen. I'll tell you what, we're excited about what God's doing in 2015. Last week we started our new series. So we're not going to wait till the first. We got it in ahead of the game. I'm telling you, I believe in 2015 that that's going to be a rhythm of your life. You're going to get in ahead of the game, ahead of the competition. You're going to be the one of the first ones and not one of the last ones to show up. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
It could be a job. It could be a promotion. It could be a discount. It could be a sale. You're going to be in the first and no longer in the last. I get tired of being in the last of the line. Come on, somebody. Or showing up a little late. You're going to be early now in the name of Jesus. Now, I'm not talking about showing up at church, so don't get weird on me. I'm talking about metaphorically in your life. You're going to see God bring you to the head, not the tail, above and not beneath. And we started last week just talking about this idea that God has great things in store for each and every one of us. And many of us, when it becomes a new year, is a great time for us to do an evaluation. Many of us do kind of like our New Year's resolution. Have you done one yet? Have you done a few? Some of you are like, no way. Some of you, yes. Have you already broken the ones that you made already? It happens. I was at lunch with my in-laws this past week. We were celebrating my mother-in-law's birthday. And my sister-in-law was across the table at the restaurant. And they brought in the bread. And her eyes lit up real big. And I'm like, I've never seen someone get so excited about bread. And she looked at me and said, oh, you know how it is. I'm starting off this year with no sugar and no gluten. And you know how that goes. And unfortunately, we all know how that goes. And it's nothing wrong trying to eat better or have goals. Those are important. And if you fail, learn from it so you can do better next time. But the reality is, I think there's something in each and every one of us. The reason we do these type ideas or have done them is because we want more. We want to be better. We want to do better. We want to do more. And so there's always this sense of something greater than just where I'm at right now. You can come from all different backgrounds, all different worlds, and never even cross, but you can find a common thread within each and every one of us that we could be thankful for where we're at, but there's something on the inside that we want to have more or do more or be more in this journey. Many times we try these resolutions or goals, and again, goals are good within themselves, but if they're not working, I believe we leave God out of our goals. We leave God out of the process. Sometimes we box God in and say, okay, God, I'll see you on Sunday. You got an hour and 15 minutes to do your job, and then I'm off to do my stuff for the rest of the week. And we miss out on, because the Lord wants to be intertwined in every facet of your life, in every area of your life. And God wants to bring new. God is a God of newness. If you were with us last week, this will be a quick review. But for those of us so we're on the same page, we saw in Revelation, don't turn there, just Take notes. A quick reference. Revelation 21 tells us that God makes all things new, which tells me that God can, anywhere, anytime, bring newness in your life. And that doesn't mean that it has to be I need a new life. That doesn't mean you have to you die and you start again. We're not talking about that. It doesn't mean you divorce your spouse and get a new. You know what I mean? We're not talking about that. God has a way of renewing or bringing newness into our life. You say, how do I know if I'm qualified? 2 Corinthians, we found out, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17 says that when you're born again, you're a new creation. Behold, all things are made new. You're a candidate for God's newness because of your son and daughter of God. But Pastor, that is only when I just got saved. I've had that born again experience, but there's other areas in my life that I struggle with. Well, praise God, he wants to work in any and all areas, because we saw in Romans 6, chapter 6, verse 4, that there is a newness of life. It's just not a new event, but in the rhythm of life, God can and wants to bring his freshness, his newness into your life. But how does that work? How does that play out? That's the million-dollar question. How do I get newness back into my life so my life doesn't feel like it is what it is, it'll never get any better, I'm just clocking in, clocking out, surviving, driving, just trying to keep things afloat? How do we get to that place where we can say, all right, God has a plan for me? Jeremiah tells us that. God has a good plan for me, and that God's not done with me yet, that ahead of me is something greater than behind me. We talked about Elisha and Elijah. 1 Kings 19:19, a great story. Elijah is the prophet of God. Elisha is Elisha before he became Elisha, the next prophet. Elisha was just a guy plowing the field. And a couple things that tells me, number one, is that no matter what your job is or no matter what level you're at in life, don't let where you're at today to define your tomorrows. Elisha could have said, I guess this is the best and I'll never be anymore. But that's not the way it played out. God sees where he wants to take you, even better or more clearly than you can see yourself. And the world has a way of defining us or getting us to define ourselves and say, well, this is all I've seen, this is all I've been, this is all I've ever done, and I guess that's the best it will ever be. And if you're there long enough, you think it'll never change. But the good news is that your tomorrows can be widely, radically different than your yesterdays. Just not a little improvement. Many times in the church world, and I don't know if it's because of our fear of failure or if our lack of belief or what, but we'll pray and we'll ask God for improvements, but we think just a little improvement. Just give me 1 degree, 5% improvement, Lord, and I'll be happy. Give me a 2% raise, and instead of 20 headaches this week, I'll just take 5, and hey, I'm improving. And we'll just go for little stuff. But God has the desire and ability to so radically improve your life that when you see it, when others around, and we talked about this a few weeks ago, that God wants to take his promises to you and make them completely obvious to the observers around you, the people that do not know him, the people that don't even like you, so that they can look at your life and say, wow, there is something going on in that person's life because their life is changing tremendously for the positive. Yes. Philippians says that God wants to do this and it creates an aroma. I call it God wants to do something amazing beyond you so that you become his billboard of his goodness wherever you go. Because people know who you are. They know what you're dealing with. Your family knows. We get around each other. You know, the holidays can be time where you spend time with family, and sometimes that's a good thing. Sometimes it's not. Family have a way of just kind of pulling the curtains back, don't they? And getting to the heart of it. But what happens if all of a sudden the family look at you and say, wow, there is something going on in your life. I believe God wants to radically not make you a different personality. Don't get weird. Okay, we have to really not imitating somebody that's not you, because then all of a sudden you are struggling, you are putting so much energy being something you're not. That's not what I'm talking about. There's enough fake it till you make it people in the world. Let's not be one of them. There's enough fake it till you make it people in the church world. Let's not be one of them. Did you hear me? I'm not saying that God will radically change you from the perspective of you become somebody different and you talk different, walk different. No, that's just weird. Come on, somebody. You know who I'm talking about. Not the person sitting next to you, quit nudging me. But I believe God wants to radically change your life, where he brings it to such a level because you know what you can do. You know where you have failed. You know where you were strong and where you're weak. And God likes to take the place where you're at and bring it so beyond your best. It's like the Bible says he'll use the foolish things to confound the wise. He'll use stuff that shouldn't work and make it work in your life. He'll, when you obey him, he will take stuff like you're looking. We see a story in the Bible where they were looking for an army and all they had is a field of dead bones. What do you do with that? Pick up a femur bone of somebody and start beating? You know, I mean, what do you? You don't have many options, right? God said, "Let me get involved." And by the time the process was over, if you've read the story, you find out by the time the process was over, there those bones came together. Then came the ligaments and then the muscle and the skin. Wouldn't that be a crazy thing? Wouldn't you love YouTube back in that day? I know I could have more than a million clicks and views. You know what I mean? With that, all the watching bones come together. And then the skin, and all of a sudden life came into them and they stood up as an army. God likes to take something that is so beyond you and do it so that he can show you and those observing and watching you that he's still around. He's still around. You know, a lot of people go to church, but they don't even know that Jesus is still around. They talk about Jesus, but they don't know Jesus. There's no demonstration of his power in their life. It's just a matter of, Christianity can almost become a self-help club, and that's not what it's supposed to be. You should improve. You should do some stuff. But the reality, if it's all the stuff you're better because of what you've done, then it's just you improving yourself. And I applaud you on that. But I'm here to tell you there's a lot more than that. There's a lot more available to you than that. God wants to take you beyond. God likes doing stuff that blows people's minds, like, you know, taking an old man and said that's never had kids and say, "I'm gonna make you a father." Abraham, you're old. "I'm gonna make you a father." Impossible. Okay, just because you said that, I'm gonna make you wait a few more years. But when at the end of the journey, you'll know that it was me and not you. So how would you like to be so blessed that at the end of the day you know it was God and not you? How'd you like to be so healed and healthy that at the end of the day you knew it was God and not you? Come on, somebody. How would you like to have your marriage so working correctly that you knew it was God and just not you? There's something you got to do. I'm not saying we sit here in an easy chair and say, "Kumbaya, Jesus, hit me with your best shot." No. There's something we're going to walk out, and we'll get to that later. But a lot of times we're not aware that there's something greater for us. And the way that God brings us through that process, one of the key elements is he makes us aware of what he can do, what we don't have. We said last week, it's the awareness of an absence that creates a desire. When we pull that out of 1 Kings 19, again, Elijah, the prophet, is on his way to have an encounter, a direction, an instruction by God. God said, "Elijah, go find Elisha. This is where he's at." Aren't you glad that God knows where you're at? And he says, "I want you to anoint him to be the next prophet." Before Elisha knew anything about his next chapter, God already knew. And before Elisha knew anything, God already started everything in motion to make it happen. I'm telling you, God can be working on your behalf behind the scenes, and you're not even aware of it. Your next chapter could be just moments away as God speaks to you. And the story tells us that Elisha is, he's just working in the field. He's plowing the field with some oxen. And Elijah comes by. And Elijah didn't stop him. I love the way this plays out because I wouldn't have written it this way, but then as you see it play out, it's like, man, this is very cool in my opinion. Because Elijah just didn't walk over and do what we would do today and try to enlist Elisha into his school of prophets. Because he had a Bible school. He didn't come saying, "Now, Elisha, you're going to be the next one. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to, when the fall comes, join up. Yeah, I'll give you the 50% discount in the first year, and we'll work out payment plans, and we'll get that." He wasn't interested in doing that. And there's nothing wrong with Bible school. There's nothing wrong with education. Knowledge is power. But in this particular situation, Elijah walks by, and the Bible says he takes off his mantle, which represents the anointing of God, and just touches Elisha with it and keeps walking. He didn't stop. He didn't explain. He just let Elisha experience. See, so many times we're trying to explain God and we need to shut our mouth and let people experience Jesus. It saves us a lot of energy. Enough of that till next. And he just walks by and he touches Elisha with the mantle and keeps walking. And the Bible says that Elisha became, he was awakened to this. Something's different. So different that he stopped and began to chase after Elijah and said, "Let me go say goodbye to my family. and then I'll follow you. I'll come serve you. Can you imagine changing your career in a second? Changing your path of life in a second? That would have to be some type of God encounter, some type of God moment. We don't know the details of how that played out, but for somebody to change their whole world in a second, in a moment, there was something that they encountered. And Elijah didn't say, okay, I'll wait. Elijah said, what did I do to you? Just leave me alone. He didn't lower the bar, he raised the bar. But we know that the awareness of God's presence brought an awareness to Elisha that there was something greater than just where he'd been and caused him to have a desire to pursue. I'm telling you, God has something, so much amazing things for you. And when you begin to walk in a relationship, and hear me, we say this so much that it almost can be a cliche, but the reality is, don't try to run in somebody else's race. Don't try to follow somebody else's footsteps. You walk out this real relationship with the Lord yourself from his word and prayer. When we try to copy people, and you can learn from people, but can you imagine trying to copy somebody? You know, I mean, you see their marriage, and so you kind of try to duplicate everything they're doing and saying to each other. It wouldn't work. It wouldn't make sense. You walk out this relationship, and in this relationship, you'll have these moments that God will show you, reveal his word, and by his presence, and he'll make you aware of what is possible. See, I believe those moments in God's presence when all of a sudden you feel peace beyond any peace you ever had, it's just not for a moment of experiencing peace. It's to make you aware of what's possible on a regular basis. I felt so good today. I felt so strong today. It's not just for a moment. It's to awaken you to the potential of what God has for you. Because what happens, if you're listening to me, what happens is all of a sudden you get this thing, when you're aware of this, you get this thing called hope. The Bible says, what do you hope for if you already see it? See, hope is something you don't see, but you believe there's a greater tomorrow. When you hope for something, you're saying, I'm not denying where I'm at, but I'm believing that tomorrow's going to be better. There's something powerful about hope. Without hope, you can't receive anything from God, because the Bible says that faith, Hebrews 11:1, faith is the substance of things hoped for. So God begins to awaken you to the possibility of what he has for you. He begins to give you hope. Let me give you a couple scriptures that we'll talk about. If you have your Bible. Isaiah 42, chapter 42, verse 9, NIV translation says, see, the former things have taken place, and new things I declare. Before they spring into being, I announce them to you. God says, before things are going to spring into your life from me, I'm going to let you know about it. I'm going to tell you about it. See, God makes you aware from his word what he wants to do, where he wants to go. And as you study the context of in Isaiah, one of the key themes that is drawn out is God saying, listen, you mean gods that you pray to or other nations pray to, they don't tell you what's going on ahead of schedule. They don't reveal the future to you. See, the Bible says that God sees the end equally and clearly as he does the beginning. And so we have to look. Here's one of the things that God likes to do. He likes to tell you what's going to happen before it happens. He likes to show you and tell you where he's taking you way before you can even see it. When you're looking for a light at the end of the tunnel and you can't even see a light, he says, let me tell you about that light. Let me tell you about your tomorrows. Why? Because at the end, when you follow him and he brings you there, then you're reminded that it wasn't just you, it was God. He told you before you even dared to believe something that crazy, that amazing. It's to let you know. He likes to let people know, hey, I'm God. I see the future. Let me tell you, nobody else can do this. Let me tell you, anybody can tell you something when they've already seen it. They see you driving a new car. Ooh, you're blessed. Well, anybody can tell you that. Oh, I like that outfit. That's a beautiful outfit. You knew it was nice. That's why you put it on. Right? So they're just giving you confirmation of what you already knew. But God has the ability to tell you something that's so beyond you that sometimes it's even a challenge to see it, to believe it. But if you can't begin to see it, perceive it, you can't receive it. He said, I'm doing a new thing. And before it springs up, before it springs into existence, I'm going to let you know about it. In fact, Amos 3:7 says, before I do anything, I tell my prophets. Before I do it, God sends his word. Isaiah 55:11, God sends his word because it's the power of his word that brings things into action to this world. He sent Jesus. Jesus was also the word, John 1:1. In the beginning was the word was with God, the word was God. Verse 14, and the word became flesh. He sent his son, he sent the word into the earth to bring change. God will reveal, begin to speak to you from his word. And it starts when you begin to receive that, you begin to be open and you begin to experience hope. You need hope. Faith is a substance of things hoped for. You need hope, the belief of a greater tomorrow. Because it's, the Bible says it's faith and patience that you receive everything from God. In fact, without faith, you can't even please God. But it starts with hope. You can't have faith without hope. Isaiah 43. This is what the Lord says. Who made a way. He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses and the army and reinforcements together, and they lay there, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. Now, here's what God's saying. He's talking in the context of bringing Israel out of Egypt. Remember the story? 400 plus years in slavery, praying for Messiah. God sends Moses. God defeats Pharaoh. Israel's coming out. Do you remember the story of they come up to the Red Sea? Moses lifts up the staff, the Bible says. Might not be in the movie, but it's in the Bible. Just because it's on a theater screen doesn't mean it's biblical. Come on, somebody. Still enjoy it, but don't freak out about it. Okay, he lifts up the staff, and the Red Sea splits. You ever wonder how that would have been like? I mean, how that played out. I know there, in the movie they kind of made it look like tornadoes or hurricanes or something. But I think I like the old Charlton Heston version. All right, because I know when I get to heaven, Moses is going to sound like Charlton Heston, right? He's going to de-Moses. I mean, if he sounds like Pee Wee Herman, we're all in trouble. And for those who don't know who Pee Wee Herman is, that's okay. I'm sorry, I'm showing my age. But but I just know he's going to be real strong. And can you imagine that Red Sea just splitting? And if it was walls, probably so, we don't know. But if it was walls, I wonder how high those walls were. I mean, 10 feet, 30 feet, 100 feet of water just going straight up. God pulling it back. Wouldn't it be wild to walk right next to that? Couldn't it be kind of almost just freaking you out if you were the one on the outside edge? Come on, think about it. You're walking all that path and you're just like inches from hitting that wall and you're thinking, man, if my arm goes in, do I just get sucked in? And you're looking at your neighbor and say, don't you dare push me. Because if you're anything like us, we'd be tempted just to push somebody in just to see. Come on, somebody. This might be funny. Get the camera. This would be really cool. And they walked across. But the Bible says that God not only split the water, he dried the path. How amazing. And God brought them across. The thing that was impossible became possible. The thing that there was no way, God made a way. I don't know what areas of your life that you're looking at, and you hear messages like this, and you start to get inspired, and all of a sudden, logic sets in and said, there's no way. I'm telling you that God says, I'll make a way. You'll never get out of this hole. God says, I'll get you out of this. I'll make a path. But there's never been any indication of anyone ever surviving this. Okay, you can be the first. I don't think I've ever heard of before or after God doing what he did at the Red Sea just the way he did it at the Red Sea. God can do something that had never been done. Do you know when Jesus was on the earth ministering, he didn't have to look to the Pharisees and the Sadducees and what was done as a common thing in the church world to do a healing. He healed people in ways they never thought of. He'd spit on the ground. Come on, use your imagination. They didn't have no pamphlet on how to heal the blind by spitting in mud. I mean, it wasn't, and if it would have happened to us, if you would have spat in somebody's eye and they begin to see, you would start bottling your own spit. I know you would. You would get on TV and say, this spit has healed the blind. Send $19.99 right now, and I'll send you. Come on, somebody. You'd be so dry because you'd have 20 people around you. Fill it. You know, fill it. Do I get a break? Not yet. Fill it. But Jesus didn't even have to. He didn't even stick to the same way he did it. He was changing all the time. Are you listening to me? I hear this from the Lord. God is not out of ideas to get you from where you're at to where he wants to go. Wants you to go. You may be out of ideas. We did a series years ago. We said, when you don't know the how, focus on the who. Because he can guide you. Amen. And so here they, he opens up, creates a path. Totally cool, right? Second thing, which is just as amazing, is he kind of lures Pharaoh's army in. Now, there was more than three or four. You watch TV, it looks like maybe a total of 20 people. There was a lot of people in this army. And he gets them all in. And the door he opened, he has the ability to close. The things he does, the windows he opens, the doors he opens, the opportunities he gives you, he can close it on other people. And it's amazing how God will say to us, you know, vengeance is mine. And I used to look at that and say, yeah, right. I feel like a victim here. I was done wrong, and you tell me vengeance is mine. You don't repay evil. God says, I'll take care of it. And I'm thinking, yeah, right. I'm not seeing anything. They're smiling, laughing over there. They got me. Let me take care of this one. I know you're busy, God. Let me handle this little one for you. Come on, we've all been there. God says, you forgive them, I'll take care of it. It almost feels like we're letting them off the hook, but God has a way. And he lures Pharaoh's army in and brings the water down. And the interesting thing about that was not that it was just punishment for what they have done to his people, but for the rest of their lives, they never had to wonder. Because you know how the devil messes with you? The devil doesn't just mess with you in reality. He messes with you in your imagination. Things, I mean, 90% of stuff we worry about don't even exist. I wonder if, yeah, no, not going to happen. But what if, no, that's not going to happen too. But they could, they're not even alive. Who are you making up? You're just like, right? Isn't it amazing how the devil can play in your mind? All of a sudden you just saw yourself die or lose everything or whatever it might be. Can you imagine them being free from Egypt, but when they lay down, they think the whole time, I can't go to sleep because Pharaoh's army might be coming. They might, any day, this might be the day they get me. And God said, listen, I'm not going to set you free from their control. I'm going to set you free from their torment. Amen. That's good right there. Because we need to be free not only from our past, we need to be free from the torment and fear of it. And whoever I'm speaking to in the name of Jesus, I just set you free from that torment and that fear and the control and the bondage of your past. In Jesus' name. Amen. Notice here, as we continue reading. So that's what God did. Verse 18. Then God says, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. You're like, really, God? That was pretty cool stuff. There's a lot of stories. That story has some legs. It will stick with you, and you can tell that over and over again. That's a great story, God. God said, I want you to forget that. Why? Because we have a human tendency of resting in where God's brought us out of, and then we don't go any farther. We just stay where we're at. And God says there's more than just healing you. There's more than just delivering you. We could stay. I mean, if that was all it was, God could have brought him out of Egypt and camped him out on the outskirts of Egypt. But God said, no, I'm bringing you out so I can take you in somewhere. I'm taking you from something so I can bring you into something. God brings us out of the kingdom of darkness, but then brings us into the kingdom of light. God takes you out of the bondage and brings you into liberty. Just not freeing you from the bondage, but bringing you beyond that. He said, I'm taking you to a promised land. Where's God taking you? Because most times as Christians, you know what we do? We become crisis management. All we see is where we're trying to get out of or free from or escape. And we come to God when we need something. And in the moment God answers that prayer, we're like, thank you, God. I know you're always there, and I'll be back. Me and you. Next time I need something, I'll be there. And we never get ahead. We never go any farther. We never advance. Because all we're comfortable with is the escape. All we're comfortable with is the survival. All we want is just don't take the torment away, but I don't want to be any better. I just don't want the struggle. And God said, listen, don't just stay on that. Notice this verse. It says, see, I am doing a new thing. I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? If you don't perceive it, if you're not aware of it, if you don't see it, not in the natural, but within your heart, you cannot receive it. Again, faith is a substance of things hoped for. You say, but Pastor, that verse also says the evidence of things not seen. It means not seen in the physical, because later on in that chapter, Hebrews 11, he goes on to say, but those men and women of faith who died not having received it, but having seen them afar off. Abraham's struggle was, God, why are you blessing me? Seeing I go childless. And God said, come out of that tent. Come out of the thing that has defined your boundaries that was created by your ability. And let me take you into the tent of my heavens that I created. Now look at my ability. What do you see? Stars. Focus on that, because that's what I see for you. I was talking to Philip Cameron a few years ago. Good friend of mine, a great minister, and has a fantastic ministry with human trafficking in Moldova. We'll be having him come speak again in a few months. And we were talking on the phone, and he said, Greg, your feet will never walk where your eyes have not seen. Let me say that again. Your feet will never walk where your eyes have not seen. I thought, oh, that's pretty good. Can I keep that? He said, absolutely, it's yours. Because you know what? If you can't have a hope, a vision of a greater tomorrow, you'll never have a greater tomorrow. God awakens you through his presence and his word and tells you you're the healed of the Lord, and you're like, I'm feeling pain. I know what you're feeling now, but here's where you're going. You're the head and not the tail. No, I keep failing. I know that's where you're now, but God said, let me awaken you to your possibility, your potential that is in me. Let me show you what I want to do. Notice here, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. I'm gonna make a path for your future, provision for your tomorrow. Don't get hung up and stuck of just God delivered you. Praise God for that. But now let's bring that victory to a whole nother level. God wants to advance you for an assignment. Here's what's been on my heart in this whole concept of new. I'm believing in 2015 that many of you, and again, obviously, I know practically, not everybody, because some of you can sit here and say, yeah, whatever, or some of you can say, yeah, that's great, and not do it. Matthew 13 is very specific about how we receive the word and having that word apply and benefit our lives. But there's people here I know that are going to catch this, and they're going to walk this out and see it. And I'm believing in 2015 that many of you are going to be aware of a greater potential, because you can get into the habit of thinking that your best days are behind you. And if you're still alive, I'm telling you, God's not done with you. And he wants to do not only great things in you, but through you in the name of Jesus. Don't define your possibility and potentials by the parameters like a tent that you can build. Look at what God can build and start there. And whatever that field might be, I'm looking for a day when people call me. It's kind of like the story of Sam Walton, you know, the guy who started Walmart. And one day they asked him, how did you get so many millionaires on your staff? And he said, they weren't millionaires when they started working for me. See, David started with a few men that were the worst place of life, and by the end of the journey, they were the best place of life. You might be in the valley right now, struggling, just trying to live minute by minute, but I'm here to tell you that God can and wants to do the impossible, so that the end of your story so blows your mind because you know that it was all him. And I'm looking for the day, one day, where people call and say, you know, how did you get so many politicians and senators and aldermen in your church? They weren't in those positions when they started. How'd you get so many successful business people to come to your church? They weren't in business when they first started. How did you get so many ministers and full-time traveling evangelists and some successful ministries to be birthed out of you? How did you get them to come to your church? They weren't there when they started. Because it can't be about me, but when we come together and focus on him, what God can do in your life. When you believe and begin to open up to the possibility of hope, of saying, wait a minute, maybe everything the doctor said, maybe everything the counselor said, maybe everything the banker said, maybe everything my friend said is not the final thought on the situation. Maybe there's more in store for me. Maybe God can do beyond what I can imagine or think of. Maybe there's something greater that would blow my mind if I'm only willing to open up. And let him speak to me. He said, I'm doing a work. So I believe God's going to advance your life. It's not a matter of, Lord, just give me enough money to pay rent. Let's get past that. I want to see you such place financially. It doesn't mean that you have to drive a Mercedes or Rolls Royce. Quit putting the stigma on stuff, because there's people that drive Mercedes and Rolls Royces that are so in debt they can't even buy McDonald's. Come on, somebody. We got to quit defining and allowing the reality TV of the world to define and compete and compare. We even got that now in the church world, getting us to compete and compare. No, you need to not compete and compare with other people. You need to compare yourself to the reflection of God's word of who God's called you to be. Regardless of the car you drive. And does God mind you having a nice car? Not at all. But if all you are defined is by your car, then you're missing it. I'm believing for the day that no matter who you are, if you're struggling financially, the one day you'll not only have enough to pay your bills, enough to have more in store, but you'll have enough to make the kingdom of God a priority to impact the lives of people. Did you hear me? I'm believing for people that are such levels of success in life that they have levels of influence so that we can utilize that influence to impact people for the kingdom of God, the glory of God. Are you listening to me? I'll be honest with you. It is not in my DNA. I love you very much, but let me open up a little. It is not in my personal DNA to be a week in, week out, let's all come encourage the flock and send you back home so I can do it again next week. That is not my design. It is not my desire. My heartbeat is to see people get saved. I'm hungry for the battlefield. I want to go out to the highways and byways. I want you to join me because there's too many people that are dying and on their way to hell. And I don't say that religiously. This is the thing that burns within me. And I have no passion for people just to tap your hand and say, it's going to be okay. Just come on back this Sunday. Listen, I tell people, I love you. If you want to leave, leave, because I can't chase you. I am chasing the people that don't know him, not the people running from him. You say, well, Pastor, I don't see many churches doing it that way. I know, and I'm not saying I'm right and they're wrong. I'm just saying this is who I am. I have to be true to myself. I'm passionate about helping the hurting, seeing the lost saved, and going after this, and defeating the enemy. Acts 10, Jesus anointed by God, who went about destroying the works of the devil. I'm not interested in running from a fight. I'm interested in standing up and looking for a fight. Where the enemy is kicking the teeth out of people financially, physically, spiritually, emotionally, relationship-wise. We're men and women of God, just not preachers, but you. We rise up and we go after this thing. I'm looking for the day where people rise up and say, hey, Pastor, let's start some more churches in the Philippines. We have a lot of churches in the Philippines, but there's still a lot of people that don't know Jesus. Let's start a church in Hong Kong. Let's start a church in other cities, whatever it might be. I'm not interested in building buildings. I'm interested in seeing souls saved. If I was interested in building buildings, then I could already leverage us to the hilt and be crying at night, be trying to make the mortgage and squeezing every dime I can get out of you every week so we can pay the interest. I'm not interested in that. We're doing 3 services, and I'll tell you what, at the end of the day, I'm exhausted. But I'm going to do it God's way, because at the end of the day, I know that I can be sustained by his way instead of me trying to make it so I can compete and compare. What am I telling you? God has some amazing plans for us individually and corporately. Don't let your yesterdays define your tomorrows. I'm telling within you, it's even beyond what you can even see right now. God has greatness if we're allowed to open ourselves up to him. And let him speak it into our lives. And all of a sudden it becomes alive. And you're like, wait a minute. This can be true. This can happen. This is not a mystery or make-believe. This can be the real deal for me. And I believe it will. Amen. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise with us.